311.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the 311 Radio Show. I am your host for today, Senior Fire and Life Safety Officer Andrew Taylor. I am so happy to have you here with us once again. We can never underestimate or take for granted all the support that you, our listeners, give us every Sunday afternoon. We know the effects of Sunday lunch, you know, between the hours of 12 and 3. So to know that you all take the time out to actually stay up and listen to us and also give your feedback and advice and support each and every Sunday really means a lot to us. Now, today we have a very special show. We have a very special lady on the show today, and she is Miss Gina Welch from the General Insurance Association of Barbados. Good afternoon to you, Miss Welch.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to Barbados.
And she will be in to talk about that big mysterious subject of insurance, a word that so many people frown upon and get scared when they hear it. But I'm sure by the end of today's show that she will have you feeling much better about insurance. So no pressure on you, Ms. Welch.
Thank you.
So before we get into that, just a reminder from our fire and life safety manager, Mr. Mervyn Mears. And good afternoon to you, sir. Hope you're having a nice Sunday rest. He has asked that all persons who have called in to the office requesting to have their certificates printed. You know who you are. We have printed your certificates and they are here in office. They're not our certificates, so we need you to come down and collect them, sign up for them. Always remember to walk with your receipt so that we have proof of payment. And please come and collect your certificates. Please remember that under the law that your certificates are supposed to be displayed in your business, okay? So it's not supposed to be here at the fire service, catching cobwebs or dust. It's supposed to be well displayed in your business. So we know when our inspectors come that you were compliant, and also anyone else coming into your business would have the comfort and assurance knowing that you have been checked by the fire service and your premises are deemed to be safe. Okay, so once again, please come down and get your fire certificates from our office, level 5, Cheapside of the General Post Office. Okay. And also, I know that some of you also need these certificates for your audits. So if your auditors come in and need these certificates and you don't have them, then obviously that can be an issue for you and the running of your business. So please, once again, come down. You know who you are that called already and asked us to have your certificates printed. They are here. So please come on down to level 5 of the General Post Office and collect your certificates as soon as possible. So just a little background of what has been happening so far for the year. So we can report that fires are still heading in a downward trend, and we are very thankful for that. Yes, I know some people may ask, okay, but if there are no fires, what are we doing? But trust me, there's a lot more that we do outside of just fighting fires. But we are very, very happy to see that our fires continue to trend downward, because last year, 2021, for the period January 1st to July 5th, we were recording 826 fires. Okay, that's 826 fires. That's inclusive of 33 residential fires, 301 grass fires, and 10 commercial building fires. And for the year to date, which is the same January 1st until July 5th, we would have recorded 723 fires. So we are down from 826 to 723. And I really want to commend the public for putting in that extra effort and making sure that, you know, you cut out the indiscriminate burning. Yes, it is still a problem across some communities, but we are making a bigger push, and something that is coming in the pipeline very soon. I don't want to give too much away about it, but we have partnered with a few other entities, and we are really taking the push to get or to bring indiscriminate burning to a halt here in Barbados. Because as you know, it goes beyond just being a what we would call a nuisance call in the fire service. Because at the end of the day, someone may call us about 3, 4, 5, 6 times to the same area. And when we get to the person is just burning basically a handful of rubbish. But whatever it is that is burning is giving off sufficient smoke to really be bothering their neighbors. Okay, and we really want to let people understand that it goes beyond the fire, that this thing actually damages our environment. Okay, so we have the air pollution. It burns the ground. So with the burning ground, you remove the grass, so which acts as a natural cover. So then you could find, now once you keep burning a particular area over and over and over, now the land now becomes more susceptible to flooding. Okay, or the top soil that's washing away. So you have more soil erosion. So it goes beyond just the nuisance call for us. It has a far-reaching effect, and we cannot leave out or forget that, yes, you may start a rubbish fire, what you think is a small fire at your home. You cannot predict where the wind will blow next or what it will do or what will happen. Okay. And that same fire could take an ember over to your neighbor's home, start a fire over there, and you cannot replace someone's home. Okay. Far less if someone gets injured or worse, dies, you cannot replace a life. So please, once again, yes, we may sound like a stuck record, but we really want to get to that point where people understand they have different ways, okay, to get rid of your daily garbage. The trucks are still there, as far as I know. There are no strikes at sanitation. Okay, so the trucks are still there that you can put your garbage on the outside and they will come and collect it. So please, your toilet paper rolls, your bottles, you can put those things in the garbage still. Okay, your paper boxes, all those things you can put in the garbage still. Okay, so you need to stop just putting these things at home, putting them in your backyard and setting fire to them. Okay, so once again, I really want to thank everyone for putting the effort to helping us reduce these fires, because at the end of the day, we can come here on this show and we can talk and talk and talk. But if you do not listen and if you do not act, then really and truly we're not doing anything. Okay. So I really want to thank the wider public of Barbados for really listening to us and taking and heeding our advice and going out there and also sharing the knowledge with others, because that's very important. Just recently, last week, we went to a school doing some presentations. And, you know, those children are eager to go back home and share with their parents what they learned from us. And that is where it starts. Because I know with the children these days, they're going to keep pounding the parents and say, "Mommy, that's not the way you're supposed to do it. You're not supposed to have your laptop on the bed. You're not supposed to be smoking in bed. You're not supposed to be playing around with matches or anything like that." So we know that the message is getting out there, and we are very thankful for that. And just to let you even get a better idea of the decrease. So they said in 2021, it was 826. But look at this. In 2020, we had 1,305 total fires for that same period, January 1st to July 7th. So we went from 1,305 to 826, and we're now at 723. So of course, you know, I'm going to put the pressure on you now. So for next year, we want to see in either the 600s or the 500s and keep coming down all of the time. But what is worrying to us that over that same period, we had more house fires. Okay, so for 2020, for the same period, January 1st to July 5th, We recorded 40 house fires, and we had a pretty dramatic or significant drop in 2021, where we went to 33 house fires for that same period. So we went from 40 to 33. But now for the same period this year, we are now up to 35. Yes, people may say, well, that's only two more. Two, too many. 35 already, too many. 33 last year for the period, too many. Because at the end of the day, house fires never operate in a vacuum in Barbados. Okay, unless you're really out in the rural areas where your whole home may not be close to your neighbors. Okay, so the risk of fire spread decreases in those cases. But unfortunately, and if you've been following our stats, the majority of our house fires occur in St. Michael, okay? And most of those communities are very close-knit. And we have been seeing a worrying move where Christchurch is now trying to catch up with St. Michael in terms of residential fires. And that is something that we are looking into. We're looking into it because, as I said, it's one thing if we can focus just on St. Michael and try to deal with that issue. But then when we see this problem migrating from one parish to the next, then we really have to, you know, relook our strategies and see how we can really reach out to wider Barbados in decreasing our residential fires. So once again, 33 house fires for last year for this period, and now we're up to 35. So we really want to keep a close eye on that. Remember to do your basics. If you're leaving home, make sure everything except the refrigerator is unplugged. Okay, everything else you can unplug. There's no need to leave any microwave or the fan, especially the fans. Please don't leave those fans on at all. You know, from past shows, we have talked about those fans actually going on to cause house fires. Okay, make sure you unplug the iron. Okay, always make sure that your iron is unplugged. And you can just do a quick check, okay, before you leave home. I know sometimes on mornings you may be running late, but yes, take those extra 2 seconds, 10 seconds, however long it takes. So just do a sweep of your home, okay, and make sure that everything is unplugged. Obviously, yes, still secure your home, and then you can be on your way. Because yes, it only takes approximately 5 to 7 minutes for a wooden home to be completely destroyed. Okay, 5 to 7 minutes. Okay, a wall structure may take a little longer, but the contents, so your furniture and everything else, that will basically burn out within 10 minutes. Okay, so it does not take long for you to lose your home and all of your possessions in a house fire. Okay, because once again, going back to some earlier shows, as we would have informed you, a fire increases in size and intensity every 30 seconds. Not every minute, not every 2 minutes, every 30 seconds. So you can understand what can start small. By 2 minutes, 3 minutes, that has already spread, has moved now from room to room, and the next thing, your home is completely gone. So that starts to set us up and bring us into the meat of our matter today, which is insurance. And some years ago, a project was started where we were looking at insured homes versus uninsured homes when it came to house fires. And we started to see a very worrying trend where the majority of the homes that were lost to fire were uninsured. And what happens here also is that when these fires spread and go from one home to the next, sometimes you can have a case where you have 3 or 4, even 5 homes, because we had a fire in Westbury a few years ago that damaged up to about 6 or 7 homes in one go. Okay, and the one in Lake Fontenay recently, that damaged about 4 or 5 homes, even more, I think, recently. So and you will find persons coming in, sorry, people coming in to get their assistance and stuff from that from us. And majority of the homes are uninsured. So imagine now you are really starting from scratch with everything. But I am not the insurance expert. I will leave that to Ms. Welch. So hello again, Ms. Welch.
Hi.
Yes, please. So my first question to you is, why do you think that Barbadians have this, I want to call it a phobia, or this fear of insurance? You would, everything would be going fine in a conversation until you mention the word insurance. could you shed a little light on what you think, you know, Barbadians have such a fear of insurance itself?
Well, that's a good question. I think there's different things, you know. It depends on how you see insurance. If you see insurance as something that's necessary, you know, or if you feel maybe you are that person where, oh, you know what, it's not going to happen to me. You know, I don't have to worry. So the thing with insurance is that it comes down to priority of, you know what, can I replace my things? Can I replace my home? You know, I already have savings or investments in place. Or right now, you know, especially now where things are tight, you have to sit down and decide, okay, you know what? I have to feed my children, you know, they're back in school, so
yes,
I have to get uniforms and school shoes. And, you know, in the last 2 years of let's say no school,
yeah,
you know, your children did not stay whatever size they were, you know, when COVID started. So you would have parents, you know, trying to get different supplies and stuff for their children. So the truth of the matter is that, you know, like any other financial planning, it needs to be put into your purview. You need to be able to know, okay, as I'm budgeting, I need to make sure I can budget for my insurance needs, you know, and once you put it into your budget, then, you know, you're going to always remember it. It's going to be there. You know, and most insurance companies give you credit terms and allow you to pay monthly, and, you know, and it could really make the premiums very small.
Okay, so I'm actually happy to hear you say that, because I know that some people, as soon as they hear the word insurance, they automatically go to an expense that is extremely expensive. So I'm very happy that you shared that information in terms of some companies actually doing, like, well, I guess you call it almost a payment plan where you can pay every month or whatever their terms may be. So that should be a relief. And also, yes, even in terms of priorities, but how do you think you can actually change, or do you think that mindset can be changed? Because okay, like us here at the fire service, you try to change your mindset of people who come from a generation of burners. So you know, in Barbados, it's natural for us to, as we say, burn stuff.
Yes.
But we have launched our, you almost sound like you come from one of those generations, ma'am. Anyway.
No. I'm too young for that.
Oh, okay. No problem. But yeah, so we are trying to change a mindset and a way of thinking, so to get people to stop burning indiscriminately. Do you think that more can be done from the insurance point of view, insurance companies' point of view, in terms of, I don't want to say wooing customers, but helping them to really understand why insurance should be a priority? So when they're, as you said, when they are doing their budget and they have food and gas, which we don't really want to talk too much about gas right now, as a very painful subject. So after food and gas, why should insurance be number three or number four on the list?
Okay. So as I said before, you know, it isn't, I think for some people, it will always be a very hard sell, you know, to get someone to purchase insurance, you know, any kind except that's compulsory, you know, like motor insurance.
Yes.
And I think maybe, you know, situations where a person has lost everything to a fire and didn't have insurance, and, you know, maybe, you know, that person speaks about it, mm-hmm. you know, about, you know, if they really had the insurance, what their life might be like as opposed to where they are now, you know, that may go a long way in helping people understand that, you know, fire insurance, you know, or insurance for your property on a whole is critical. I think the other thing too is that a lot of times as we live our lives, we don't even recognize what we have in terms of assets.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, I remember talking to a lady here in my office a few years ago, and she thought that she didn't have enough contents to take out contents insurance.
Okay.
So I actually sat down with her and I said to her, okay, so let's start to just add up some things. So I said, okay, you know, how many beds do you have in your home? You know, you have a fridge, you have a stove, you have a washing machine, you have a dining room table, you have a living room set, you know, you have your flatware and your cookware, you have clothing. You know, we just started to add up, and then we got to jewelry, mm-hmm. you know, and she told me her partner loves watches, and his watches alone combined came to nearly $10,000.
Wow.
In watches.
Wow.
So by the time we finished with the jewelry and so forth and so on, her contents came to nearly $75,000.
And she thought she didn't have anything.
And I find that that's typical. So when I teach, because I teach insurance, mm-hmm. Courses. And that's one of the things I talk to my students about for their own selves so that they could talk to their clients about it. I tell them, you know, just go through your house and just start to write down everything that you have. And you will get a good idea that, you know what, I actually have more assets than I think.
Than you think, correct.
And a lot of times we just think, you know what, I don't have much, you know, I don't have a lot. But we have more than we think. And to replace all of that in one go, because those things that you have, you more often than not, you didn't buy all of that in one.
No, of course not.
No.
Yeah.
You know, when I moved into my first home, my living room set came, you know, was a secondhand set. It was, you know, then it was just a little glass top dining room table set that I bought. I would never forget. It was like $299, you know. So you do, and then as you move on and you move on, you change things, you get rid of one thing, you buy something else, but you don't do all of that in one go. You do those things over years.
Yes.
So when you reach a particular stage of your life, like your 30s and your 40s, you have accumulated quite a bit of things.
True.
And those things can burn up like that.
Exactly.
You know? So like when you were talking, you know, even things like having a smoke detector and a fire extinguisher in your home.
Yes.
And that everybody in the home knows how to use them and change the batteries when they're back, you know, becomes important.
Yes.
So I think it's a collective effort, you know.
Okay. Like, so I heard you mentioning a word more than once in there. This thing about contents. So are you saying to me now that there is a natural separate class of insurance, if you want to call it that, or type of insurance that can just cover the contents of a home? So let's say I was renting somewhere and I wanted to make sure that my furniture, my new flat screen and everything in one is covered in terms of insurance. Can I go ahead and get that contents insurance or?
Yes, definitely. Persons could take out insurance for their contents. So as you said, if you're renting and you're renting an unfurnished house or an unfurnished apartment, oh, definitely you can get just insurance for your contents. As a matter of fact, the policies are built in such a way that they come together. You have the building, so the home and the contents. So your schedule would just tell you what you have insured. You might still get a booklet that shows you information about the building, mm-hmm. but your insurance will be on the contents. And if you have a building, so even if you are a landlord, yes. you know, you want to make sure that your property is insured, especially, you know, if that's income for you, you don't want to lose your income. So you want to make sure your property is insured, and then your tenant will get insurance for their contents. If you own your own home and you're living in the home that you own, then yes, you're going to want insurance for your house and for your contents. Okay. Yes. And that's a bigger asset base when you add the house in.
True.
You know.
True.
You know, and some people have built their houses, you know, into some structures over time. You know, you don't want to wipe that out. As you said, it takes very little time. Yeah, for a fire to double in size and, you know, so forth and so on. It's not going to take you 25 years you took to.
No. You know. At all.
Exactly. So we want to just make sure that we have our assets properly covered.
Okay, so actually, you know, what you said just brought something else to mind, because we normally have conversations with landlords when it comes to their tenants. So we're looking more at the commercial building point of view now. And, you know, sometimes we have to stress with these landlords that, hey, your building is, let's say, 15,000 square feet. You cannot afford to let someone who's renting 150 square feet cause you to lose your 15,000 square feet. Okay. So it was really interesting to hear you actually speak to the landlord, just insuring the building, but also then making sure that the tenants also have some form of insurance, because that is something that we've honestly been back and forth with between landlords and tenants when it comes to commercial businesses. Because some people, you know, want to say, okay, everything is the responsibility of the landlord. And then some landlords are saying, well, hey, it should be the responsibility of the tenant. But right. I think at the end of the day, it may turn out to be that the landlord, being the overall owner, may have to take full responsibility in ensuring that their building is deemed safe.
Correct.
At the end of the day. Correct. So to leave your investment up to someone who is basically passing through.
Right.
You know, you really don't want to leave your investment to someone who's just passing through. So right. You really should go ahead and make sure that the building is insured, and make sure that their tenants are also covered with insurance.
Yes, correct.
So you even mentioned something a little early in terms of collaboration. And, you know, that really stuck out there for me. Because I think it is definitely time that we here at the fire service, you know, really team up with either yourself and your team at General Insurance Association of Barbados or with other insurance companies, and really start to push the importance of not just fire safety, but also having your home and contents insured. Because as you said, you know, you took 25 years. You took 25 years to get your home to where it is, and to have all of your contents, and not only contents, because they tell people don't look at the material things. You have to look at the memories.
Yes.
Yeah. So when you first sat down in your couch with your wife, all right, or when you actually sat at your dinner table for the first time with your family. You know, all those things are memories that people cherish. And yes, the insurance is not going to give you back
the sentimental
value, but at least you have the comfort in knowing that you are not starting from zero, and that you have a buffer there, you know, to basically to get you back on your feet again. Because definitely when they, you know, when they encounter fire victims, when they come in, honestly, these are people who have literally nothing. Some people tell me, okay, but hey, the clothes on my back, this is all I have left. Okay, so for that person to leave and not even know what their next step will be, and for sure knowing that they have no buffer in terms of insurance, I really think that it is time that we really, you know, like you say, come together and really push the importance of insurance and connect it with the fire safety aspect.
Yes. I just wanted to say something when you were talking about commercial properties, that the owners of those buildings have to remember there's something in insurance called insurable interest.
Insurable interest.
Which means that you, yes, that you have the right to insure something because the loss of it is at you.
Okay.
So if I'm renting, you know, as a matter of fact, you've inspected our premises here. We are a tenant, you know, but the building doesn't belong to us. So we don't insure the building. We just insure the contents.
Yes.
And, you know, our furniture, fixtures and fittings and equipment within our space. But my landlord has insurance on the building.
Yes.
You know, because the insurable interest of the building is theirs. It's, you know, it's not ours. So that's something that people have to remember, that term, insurable interest.
Insurable.
Wherever that lands, yes.
Okay, no problem. So for sure, Ms. Welch, if you ever intend to leave insurance, the sort of information you've given us here today, you could definitely get a job here at the fire service because you are very much on point with certain materials. So
I can do a little part-time gig with you.
Part-time. So once again, I have no idea where the time went. We are quickly approaching the end of our show. So I really want to thank you, Ms. Welch, for taking the time out on your Sunday afternoon to come here and speak with us about insurance. And I am very sure that our listeners had an earful, okay, and they will go away feeling a little more comfortable about going over there and getting some insurance and making sure that they have that buffer in case something happens. So I really want to thank you again for coming on the show and sharing that information with us.
Yeah, thank you too. And if they have any questions, they can send them to you and you can forward them to us.
No problem.
And then you can invite me back.
And I'm glad to hear that you're ready to come back already. That's a very good sign. Okay, so once again, we are at the end of our show. And obviously, before we go, we always have to end by saying that fire prevention is our intention. And thank you very much again for joining us. And we look forward to bringing another interesting topic to you come next Sunday. So goodbye, everyone, and take care.